QB2 has been identified, and what exactly are the Buffalo Bills getting in wide receiver Deonte Hardy? I studied his tape, and I'm ready to talk about it today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino, author of Go Bills and Buffalo's Run, also the co-host of the Locked On NFL Scouting Podcast, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. I want to thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day, and please be sure to subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This episode of Locked On Bills is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Well, folks, we got some stuff to do here on the podcast. First, I want to present wide receiver Deonte Hardy to you. I studied his film this morning, and I want to share what I found. Then we're going to talk to Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints for his take on Hardy, given he's covered him since he entered the NFL back in 2019. And then lastly, I want to talk about how I think Hardy fits into the Bills offense. And of course, talk about Kyle Allen, the Bills' new backup quarterback. All right, so let's do the Deonte Hardy thing. Earlier this week, I presented Connor McGovern to you after studying his film. And so this morning, I studied Deonte Hardy, and I want to talk about his skill set and present it to you today. So Deonte Hardy, 25 years old, turns 26 in December, a UDFA in 2019 out of Assumption College, which is Division II. He spent his first four seasons with the New Orleans Saints and appeared in 40 games over that span. He is small. 5063, which is 5'6 3/8", 171 pounds. He's short. He's small. He's also an interesting athlete where his explosive numbers aren't that good. 33-inch vertical jump, 9'6" broad jump. You'd expect those to be a little better. His 40-yard dash is 4.48. He certainly plays a lot faster than that, but his timed 40-yard dash is a 4.48. Now, his explosive numbers in terms of the quickness, 10-yard split's really good, 1.51. That's outstanding. His three-cone is really good as well, 6.92. His shuttle time is okay at a 4.16. This is a player that his game speed, his functional speed, his play speed is a lot better than his timed speed. And it doesn't take long to pop on the tape and realize that you have a really dynamic athlete. Now, he's not like a Tyreek Hill athlete, but he's a step down in terms of functional athleticism. So let's dig into the positives with Deonte Hardy before we get into the negatives. Like I mentioned, he's a twitchy and explosive mover. He's got the juice, right? He's got some wiggle to him. He's dynamic. Within the Saints' offense, they did a good job of giving him some manufactured touches, and he did well to take advantage of those opportunities, to take advantage of space, but also produce yards after the catch. He's very good with the ball in his hands. Very creative. He sees the field very, very clean, knows how to cut off blocks, and knows how to rip off chunks of yards. He's a really balanced mover, so he's able to make very sharp, dynamic cuts, getting in and out of those turns, stop on a dime, cut, explode. The elusive traits here are exceptional. And what's interesting is he offers this package of really short, not very big overall, not a lot of mass, super loose hips and a lot of twitch. But within that, he's able to win and be balanced through contact because he just doesn't offer a lot of surface area. So it's hard for defenders to get their hands on him. whether that's at the line of scrimmage in press coverage, if they're trying to be physical, covering him in man, they're trying to tackle him in space. Those traits work together to make it just hard for people to get their hands on him and really be physical with him, which is really important given how small he is. He has really strong, confident hands. And we talked about that yesterday, a very low drop rate for his career. And you can see it in the way he catches the football. He's able to extend, pluck it, secure it. He makes good adjustments to the ball. So he doesn't have a lot of catch radius, right? But within his catch radius, whether it's pretty small, he's able to maneuver and adjust and scoop out low throws and work back across his frame to catch the football. And I came away quite impressed with his willingness to work the middle of the field. We're talking about a little dude. And he is not afraid to go into the middle of the field and make catches in traffic. Not necessarily contested catches in traffic, but with people around him. I think he tracks and locates the ball vertically down the field very well. And so that matters because it's one thing to be able to separate deep and get open deep, but if you can't track and locate and adjust to the football and carry speed to the ball, it's not really going to matter. He's got that ability to track and locate the ball down the field. Like his ability to accelerate and be creative with his release packages, which makes him an option to play outside and he's not a slot only. You can really see him stress corners if they want to be physical with him, because it's hard to get your hands on him because he's small and he's very quick. And so he can really make you pay if you don't get a jam on him early on if you choose to play press coverage against him. As a route runner, I came away pretty impressed. He does a good job of varying his tempo. You know, running routes isn't just about running as fast as you can to your landmark and cutting, right? That's not route running. You have to be able to vary your tempo, set up your breaks, and get open. He has easy gas when he creates leverage, and he has a corner stacked. He can leave, right? He can get away from them. And there were plenty of times where I saw him manipulate defenders and force them to commit or open their hips or have false steps. And he attacks those blind spots and knows how to get open and work off of that. And of course, he's smooth and sudden in and out of break. So he can run an entire route tree. And I really was impressed with that, whether it was selling the vertical stuff and winning vertical, but also the whip routes, the quick choice routes. Very good at that. Very smooth in and out of breaks. His ability to sell vertical routes stresses defenders, and that just opens up so much for him because he can snap off routes, work back down the stem, work horizontally. He could run all the routes. And it's not just against zone or man coverage. I saw good route running against zone. Some really good adjustments, processing on the fly, understanding the coverage rotation and where he needs to be. You saw him make good side adjustments. And the Saints, they had plenty of zone beaters baked into their offense that really set him up well to take advantage of some of their layered route concepts. And I thought he had a very good feel for spacing. Wasn't too close, allowed the other routes to lift and take advantage of the space. Like, there was a good understanding of how to attack that zone coverage and where he needs to be and at what tempo he needs to get there. I didn't expect to see the route runner that I saw on tape. So there's a lot to like here. He knows how to get open, good hands, competitive after the catch, dynamic athlete. There's a lot to like. Now, there's negatives. The most obvious one is that he's small. 5'6", a tick over 5'6", 170 pounds, 28 and a quarter inch arms. There's just not a long list of guys out there in the NFL that are consistently producing that have those measurables. He is small. There's no question about it. And so because of that, there's size limitations. Doesn't really offer much wingspan in terms of being physical. He really needs to rely on that twitch and that finesse. Not going to out-muscle anybody. I mean, he's going to concede 20, 30 pounds to pretty much most of the guys that are going to cover him on the outside. Not a guy that's really going to extend his catch radius vertically. Not going to go up and get the football and win above the rim. So there's size issues and what those naturally present. Then there's injuries. And I'd encourage you guys to head on over to bangedupbills.com. You know that we love to have Dr. Kyle Trimble on this podcast. And he did the injury research on Deonte Hardy. And there's a lot. There's a lot to be concerned about. And so small and injured frequently, those are not necessarily two things that you want to be true. Banged Up Bills, Dr. Kyle Trimble, he tweeted out, the research reveals high risk, high reward for Deonte Hardy. Several significant injuries, including repeated hamstring strains along with toe and neck injuries. So you could read the full breakdown and all the implications over at bangedupbills.com. You're certainly hopeful that him coming to Buffalo and the facilities and the training staff can really help reduce some of that. We've seen that happen for some players that come to the Bills, but this is definitely something that I'm concerned about with Hardy moving forward. So size, physicality, injuries, and he's had ball security issues in the return game. Now, he's never fumbled the ball on offense, so very good. We love that. But he does have some blunders in the return game, and that's something that he really can produce in, right, as a punt returner and a kick returner. We talked about that yesterday on this podcast, but the guy has 4 muffed punt returns, 4 fumbled punt returns, and 1 fumbled kick return. So I don't like that. So for as glowing as a lot of those positives were and how I can imagine him in this offense, we'll get to that later. There's a lot to like. The wet blanket here is size, physicality, injuries, ball security. A lot to layer together here as you consider Deonte Hardy. So there's my take on Deonte Hardy after studying his tape this morning. And to add more to the conversation in just a moment, I will be joined by Ross Jackson, the outstanding host of the Locked On Saints podcast. He's going to give us more insight into the latest addition to the Buffalo Bills wide receiver core. But first, I do need to tell you about FanDuel. Midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I'm joined now by Ross Jackson, the outstanding host of the Locked On Saints podcast. And I guess every other year we're going to get together and talk about a Saints receiver coming to the Bills. A few years ago, we did Emmanuel Sanders to the Bills. This time, Deonte Hardy to the Bills. And so anxious to get your expert opinions and certainly your experience covering him with the Saints. And it's a fun story with Deonte Hardy. He's a 2019 undrafted free agent out of Assumption College. So let's start there, Ross. Take us back to 2019. What was his path to making this roster and then ultimately becoming a Pro Bowl return guy as a rookie?
Yeah, and that was exactly his path, right? I mean, Deonte, at that time, Deonte Harris, before eventually changing his name to Deonte Hardy to honor his stepfather. He came into New Orleans as this diminutive receiver with a ton of speed, diminutive in terms of size. And so his path to the roster was special teams the whole way. You know, legend has it that one of the special teams coaches was really, really vying for him, like, to be drafted. And, you know, there are some stories that will tell you that people were standing on tables about him. I don't know if they really went that far, but there was a lot of excitement around getting Deontay Harris to New Orleans. But his path to the roster at the time when he showed up in 2019 was that of a return man. And of course, he, you know, went on to become a undrafted rookie all pro as a returner and as a special teamer. But certainly his role beyond 2019 began to grow with New Orleans.
So I want to get into the receiving skill set, but since we're kind of into the returner conversation, obviously a ton of production in that capacity, not just at Assumption College, where he's literally the most prolific return guy in the history of college football across all levels, but that translated pretty quickly to the NFL. And I think we can all appreciate what goes into making a guy a dynamic returner. But I want to actually ask you about the fumbles here, because I know that that's been a bit of an issue, whether it's been muffs or it's been not taking care of the football in the return game. No fumbles on offense, but what did you see as a returner that kind of led to some of those ball handling issues?
Yeah, this was sort of the biggest thing that maybe held Deontay Hardy back here in New Orleans, and it was ball control, particularly as you highlight there in the return game. So the exact thing that made him special also made him a risk. And so it was a little bit too much in terms of the risk reward or getting the bang for your buck, if you will, if every now and then that ball, instead of crossing an end zone or instead of, you know, being returned for a big return, ended up going back to the other team. And particularly when it came to punt returns, although he's got a couple on kick returns as well, this was a big issue for him and probably the thing that limited him the most. I think a little bit in terms of the reason that he started fumbling is just a little bit too much action and wasted movement. So oftentimes he's trying to evade, trying to slip around, trying to, you know, stutter step a little bit and figure out his next path. And in the process of doing that, somebody's coming in with a top down punch and taking the ball out. Other times it was simply that the contact itself, it was just a contact fumble. It was just the tackle and him not having adequate control of the ball at that time. Maybe that has a little bit to do with his size. Maybe that's just a little bit of his ball handling sort of approach, right? Not necessarily high and tight, but needed to be able to wiggle and get around. So he maybe kept it a little bit lower towards his waist, leaving it open, leaving it unprotected. And so it was just kind of this combination of both getting the ball punched out, but also not having the grip that he needed to be able to simply sustain a tackle in the return game, because he's so focused on trying to find that extra move, get that extra blade of grass.
Russ, I want to talk a little bit more about the receiving skill set here. And what's interesting is the volume of production catching the football really isn't impressive across four seasons, but he had a pretty good 2021 campaign. But then when you take it down on a per route basis, I mean, the numbers are absolutely elite, in the top five in yards per route run in the NFL since 2020 among wide receivers with at least 150 routes run. And we're talking about being up there with the likes of A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, I don't want to get crazy here, but what can you tell us about what those numbers tell you, right? There's always a story behind the stats. Talk to us about the opportunity and what led to him making plays, but also what kind of limited him from having more opportunity.
Yeah, I'll start by speaking on efficiency, right? Like, he's not going to be an A.J. Brown or an Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, he's not going to be those guys in terms of being a top flight wide receiver one or heavy volume guy. But his efficiency is what has made him special. And so when he was with the New Orleans Saints in 2021, Jameis Winston was the starting quarterback for those first games while he was around. And so Deontay Hardy was utilized in such a way that allowed them to be able to take the top off. You saw big deep completions in the opening game up against the Green Bay Packers, big touchdown there. A couple weeks later against the Washington, at that time, Washington football team, you know, before they became the Commanders. And so you see these big connections all the way downfield. But Joe, the other thing that really makes Deontay Hardy special is when you can get him the ball in space and allow him to become a returner, if you will, or a runner with the ball in his hands. And so him on these whip routes, these pivot routes, these angle routes, even utilizing him out of the backfield on a Texas route, these concepts that allow him to be able to change direction quickly in a small, short area situation, coming out of the slot, for instance, those are places where he can really be special. Because if you get him particularly on those pivot routes toward the outsides, where he fakes that slant inside, reverses and heads back towards the sideline, and get him the ball out on the perimeter with space and perhaps with, you know, a perimeter blocker downfield on, you know, a go route or something that gets that other receiver downfield quite a bit, that gives him a lot of space to be able to work with, gets him the sideline and gets him the protection up ahead in order for him to be able to pick up yardage. So I think his ability to pick up yards after catch, but also his ability to take the top off of a defense is why you see the yards per route run up there so highly, because when he was utilized, it was utilized very, very efficiently. What kept him off the field, I think some of those ball control issues were something the Saints didn't want to see creep into the offense because they were already dealing with it in other areas of the field. But also, I think a little bit of it was simply underutilization. They had, you know, this sort of mixed match box of receivers in 2021 where you had Marquez Callaway and Tre'Quan Smith, these guys that weren't really wide receiver ones, they were having to play that wide receiver one role. And so they were just rotating these wide receivers all the time because they never had an established number one. And so because of that, that kind of kept Deontay Hardy off the field because they were rotating these guys through. So I do think it was a bit of underutilization, but I wonder if maybe a little bit of that ball control concern crept into the way that they utilize him on offense. But he definitely deserves a larger role on offense.
I'm really glad that you said that because I've been trying to figure this out since the Bills signed him, because I mean, even you and I have had conversations about the Saints, and I've been a champion for needing another wide receiver. Even when Michael Thomas was really one of the premier receivers in the game, it's like, man, what if they had a number two? Yep. But with his inconsistency in terms of availability of late, it's really kind of put guys in the pecking order where it doesn't make sense for New Orleans. And when that happens, a skill set like Deontay Hardy certainly gets lost. And I guess the hope is, as you project him to Buffalo, that they have more of an established pecking order, right, in terms of true receivers in each spot. And then Hardy can kind of fill in the blanks, and perhaps the Bills can maximize the skill set a little bit more because the flashes are really good. And I was wondering why there wasn't more opportunity. I think you gave some good insight there. Let me ask you this. Why don't you think he was re-signed by the New Orleans Saints? I'm always curious for that side of the coin because, you know, this seems like a player that could help any team. Saints let him get away. I know there's cap issues, but what are you thinking on that front?
cap issues. I think, dude, when it comes to this decision for the Saints, it's twofold. There's a little bit on Deontay Hardy. There's a little bit that's on the New Orleans Saints. The stuff that's on Deontay Hardy, injury is a big part of it. And the Saints are trying not, and you can kind of see it in the guys they've let walk versus the guys they brought back, with the exception of Michael Thomas. They're trying not to continue to bring back the sort of injury prone guys. We've seen some moves that indicate that here over the course of the offseason. And so that's one part of it. He's dealt with concussions. He's dealt with, you know, lower leg injuries. He had his season end early last year. And then this is where it gets to the New Orleans Saints side of it, is that because Deontay Hardy's season ended early last year, they got an opportunity, New Orleans did, to go from Assumption College wide receiver Deontay Hardy to Weber State wide receiver Rashid Shaheed. So they just went from one of these prolific collegiate returners to another prolific collegiate returner. And so he kind of came in, Rashid Shaheed did, and filled that returner role really well, but then also absolutely took advantage of the opportunities that he got on offense. And so at 6 foot, 185 pounds, 190 pounds, the Saints are were very likely to reinvest in Rashid Shaheed as an offensive piece as well as a returner than they were to reinvest in Deontay Hardy, who was dealing with injuries and comes in with a bit of a smaller frame and therefore risk and fear of re-injury. The Saints and Deontay Hardy had talks before last season began about contract extension. Those talks didn't go great when they had him on that RFA tender. And so that's a part of what drove these two apart as well. It's not a thing where you should be worried about character concerns or anything like that. It's just contract negotiations and the way that the business works. And so because the Saints kind of came in and said, okay, well, we have a replacement here, feel really good about what Rashid Shaheed brings to both areas where they were utilizing Deontay Hardy, they allowed Deontay Hardy an opportunity to hit the market, find an opportunity, and he did.
Last one for you here, Ross, and I know that you obviously are in the weeds with the New Orleans Saints, but you are well-versed across the entire NFL. You coordinate the entire NFL channel here for us on the Locked On Podcast Network. And so as you now are really familiar with Deontay Hardy and you're familiar with the Buffalo Bills, what are your general thoughts on projecting him to this Bills offense?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, if you're looking for slot production since the loss of Cole Beasley, he's a guy who can give you that. He's a guy that can work in sort of those short area situations coming out of the slot, make you some tough catches over the middle. He's not going to be a big 50-50 ball guy. He'll be able to take the top off of the defense, but he's not necessarily going to be a perimeter receiver for you, you know, 70-80% of the time. But if he gets opportunities in the slot on the offense and then also is able to contribute maybe in the punt return game while you keep, you know, other experienced returners corners who are obviously benefiting over in Buffalo in the kick return game, or you just have an extra return guy there, there's opportunities to be able to get him involved in both areas of the field. But considering what that contract looked like for him, which was a good step up for him, I wouldn't be surprised to see Buffalo get him involved in the offense. And that scheme that they utilize there, Josh Allen's arm and Deontay Hardy's speed should be a lot of fun. And I can't wait to see how Buffalo gets it done. But I do think from the slot is the right way to deploy him in that offense.
Yeah, I think that's going to be exciting for Hardy to have Josh Allen. I know the Saints have really had some issues at quarterback, playing a lot of different guys over the last few years. Certainly hopeful Derek Carr solidifies that for a while, but certainly great opportunity for Deontay Hardy. Ross, thanks for squeezing us in. I know you have a busy day today and really appreciate your expertise and giving us some of your time.
Absolute pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much.
Coming up next, we're focusing the conversation to how I see Deontay Hardy fitting into the Bills offense. And of course, discussing Kyle Allen, the Bills' new backup quarterback. But also got to tell you about Built Bar. And in fact, the Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you all have a favorite bar or puff, and now it's time to make it count. Go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know, I'm going to be voting for the brownie batter puffs. And if you want the puffs and if you want the Bills to win, then you'll be voting for that bar too. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will get a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built. Built is the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're amazing. And you don't think they're going to be good for you, but they are. They're delicious. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. The macros are off the charts. Tons of protein, low sugar, low carbs. So check them out. In fact, run to builtmarchmadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March. So hop in and support your pick. All right, so let's project Deontay Hardy to the Buffalo Bills offense. And when studying him this morning, I saw bits of three players that you're going to be very, very familiar with. One of them is John Brown. One of them is Cole Beasley. And one of them is Isaiah McKenzie. Well, that sounds like a good player, right? You've got bits and pieces of all those guys. That sounds like a good football player. Well, it doesn't mean that he's this superhero football player, but there are components of his game that really reminded me of those three guys. The John Brown component was the vertical ability, the explosiveness, the ability to run routes as a perimeter receiver, as an outside wide receiver, despite being small. I mean, John Brown's small too. You don't expect John Brown to be a guy that consistently wins outside, but he did. And I saw a lot of those same traits applicable to Deontay Hardy. For Cole Beasley, I saw the choice routes, the layered concepts, the timing, the pace of routes, the separation quickness, the hands. Deontay Hardy has very good hands, just like Cole Beasley. In terms of Isaiah McKenzie, the jet motion, the horizontal things that he can do in terms of stressing with horizontal playmaking ability. I'd say that Deontay Hardy has better yards after catch skill than an Isaiah McKenzie. So I like Hardy's skill set because I get bits of three players that have all had either really good production with the Bills or moments of good production with the Bills. And the types of receivers that we've seen Josh Allen be successful throwing the football to. And let's just live in a world right now where your top three receivers are Diggs, Davis, Hardy. What do I like about that? You have three really different skill sets. And I like that. I like having a lot of variety in ways that you can win because it allows you to attack the field and really stress the defense because the personnel that you can put out there and how it can challenge you in so many different ways. And so I love the variety if that's your top three receivers. Hardy can do a lot for this offense. And to me, it's really on Ken Dorsey to figure it out, to utilize it, and make it all work. I think you have to be mindful of the volume component here. The guy's been injured a lot and he's small. How do you get the most out of him? What's the appropriate amount of opportunity for him to get production, but also not overdo it? He's small and he's been injured. So how do you thread that needle? That's going to be a big task for Ken Dorsey to figure out. In so many ways, Deonte Hardy is the skill set that I think this offense needs. Now, I wish he wasn't so small. I keep on getting back to that. But in terms of skill set, the route running, the yak, the vertical ability, the explosiveness, the versatility to play inside and outside, the ability to win at all three levels, Hardy's that player. Just doesn't check all the peripheral boxes when it comes to size, injury concerns, and then, of course, its physicality's not there and the ball handling, at least from the return perspective. It should open things up for the Bills in the quick passing game, which we know is something they got to get going. Those whip routes, those choice routes, those slants, those speed outs, all of that's there. Screens, let him produce after the catch, it's all there. And what's exciting about that is he can also get vertical. He can also work the middle of the field. So we can do a lot for this offense. The biggest question is volume. And can the Bills actually incorporate him effectively? Can they incorporate him effectively? Because between him and Nyheim Hines, you have a lot of electricity. Throw James Cook into the mix. You have some really dynamic people in your offense, not to mention Steph Diggs and Dawson Knox and what Gabe Davis can do as a piece of the offense. It's a lot to like there. Ken Dorsey's got to figure it out in the lab this offseason. Real quick, let's talk about Kyle Allen, the Bills' new backup quarterback. We saw this coming, right? Not a lot of people surprised that this is the QB2 the Bills chose to go with, but let's talk about him real quick. 27 years old, he turns 28 in March, 6'3", 210 pounds, was an undrafted free agent in 2018 out of Houston. So the Bills' last two backup quarterbacks come courtesy of the Houston Cougars. Kyle Allen was a big-time recruit coming out of high school. I remember when he signed with Texas A&M, he was supposed to be this big-time recruit that was destined to be a high draft pick and wound up being an okay college quarterback. Was at Texas A&M for two seasons before he transferred over to Houston. Spent 2018 and 2019 with the Panthers. Again, he wasn't drafted. Now, early on in his career, he actually played quite a bit for Carolina, and I remember that living here in Charlotte, and some people thought he could be the quarterback of the future. Started 13 games in those two seasons, and the Panthers went 6-7. So pretty respectable there, especially for a Panthers team that wasn't that good for him to be able to step in and win some games. Then in 2020 and 2021, he was with Washington, and a lot of that coaching staff from Carolina left and went to Washington, and they brought Kyle Allen with them. Started four games for Washington, and they were 1-3. And then last season, he spent with the Houston Texans, started two games, and Houston was terrible. They were 0-2 when he started those games. So for his career, 19 starts, 7-12 record, completion percentage of 62.6, 26 passing touchdowns, 21 interceptions. He does have four rushing touchdowns, passer rating of 82.2. He's a serviceable backup. Obviously, he's very tight with Josh Allen. They both train with Jordan Palmer. You see him together all the time on Instagram. They're tight. And Kyle Allen's a guy that is coming in. He knows his role, knows Josh Allen, and that's important because we've talked about it on this podcast that the quarterback room, for as much as it is about being able to come in and play and run the offense, it's really, honestly, more about them supporting the starter. And for whether it's in the meeting rooms, the sideline, the practice field, all of those quarterbacks working together for Josh Allen to be able to go out there and perform at his best. That's what's most important here. And so I like that there's an already established rapport between Josh Allen and Kyle Allen for him to kind of come in and be able to do that, not to mention Matt Barkley already in the mix as your QB3. Now, of course, you want to have a guy that can come in and give you a chance to win a few games if your starter goes down. And to me, that's mission accomplished, because this guy has come in, and when the teams were pretty reasonable, he gave him a chance. This was the QB2 that I had in mind when I did my mock offseason last week. And here we are. He's now the QB2 for the Buffalo Bills. So there you have it. Deonte Hardy, what he brings to the table. Kyle Allen, your new QB2. As far as what's next in the podcast, this could be the last episode this week, but if there's some big news over the weekend, I'm not going to make you wait. I'm going to do a podcast. So we're going to take it as it goes. I definitely want to get to some herd mentality next week. Perhaps the Bills will add more players. We're going to react to any news. Might start a little draft discussion. So we got a lot more to get to here, of course, this offseason. The next waves of free agency, and of course, getting ready for that NFL draft at the end of April. So don't miss anything. Make sure that you are subscribed. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. If you're looking for more, check out the Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. Me and Kyle Krabs talking team building across the entire NFL. It was fun to get that started this week. So make that your next listen. Go Bills. Have a great weekend. I look forward to catching up with you again real soon.